Father, kingdoms come and go, generations come and go, people come and go, but your word has been constant. It has stood the test of time. It does not return to you void, but accomplishes everything you have said. Give to us the grace to believe it, the grace to trust in it. Give to our hearts the ability, Lord, to think upon this word, Lord. We pray that that bird that picks the word from every heart will be driven far from this vicinity, and the will of God will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Children, you may go to your classes, please. Praise ye the Lord. We thank God for another week. I'd just like to ask, have you lived by God's word today, this week? How many times in our hearts has the Spirit quickened our voices to ask, what has the Lord said? Remember that passage that says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So let us encourage one another with the word of God. It is so important. If you put 50 people together in a room, you will have 50 different ideas about how things should be done. Some may be similar, but we have our own peculiarity. But when everybody aligns with God's word, then our purpose is one, our vision is one, our goal is one, and we reflect the vision of Christ our Redeemer. We thank the Lord. Thank you, Kemi. We thank the Lord for preserving us and giving us his word. Today I have, please, there may be a little disjoint to the sermon because I'm just trusting on the Holy Spirit to drive on what he will, because there are exactly two things in my spirit that I want to share with us. And I'm especially glad that some of our younger people are here. This, to me, is one of the most important things as Christians for us in life. Well, that's as though everything that God says is the next most important thing. But I want to speak on the theme and two things, on the theme of money and then on the theme of glory. The theme of money in Christianity and also the theme of glory. Money, glory, but especially glory. Please open your Bibles with me. Someone should please open to Jeremiah. First, let's start from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9. I will read those two verses, and then we will, by the grace of God, analyze them and see what God is saying to us. Jeremiah chapter 9. 23 says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. I'd like us to remember those three. Open with me to the book of Luke real quick. Chapter 10. I started from verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And the Lord said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice. Another translation says, do not glory in this, that the fat that the spirits are subject to you. But rather, rejoice, glory, because your names are written in heaven. But rather, rejoice, or glory, that the spirit, that your names are written in heaven. Open with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, real quick. I'll start reading from verse 26. It says, "For you see this Christian calling that you have, brethren." Say, think about this Christian calling. "Isn't it strange to you that not many wise, you know, not many Nobel laureates, not many Pulitzer Prize winners, not many Hollywooder A-listers, not many supermodels, not many superstars, not many politicians, not many well-acclaimed, not many wise, not many mighty, not many presidents, not many 5-4-star generals, mighty. This Christian calling, isn't it strange? Think about it. This wonderful news of Jesus, this salvation, isn't it strange that not many Fortune 500 CEOs, not many legislators, not many mighty, not many smart chaps, not many Harvard, Yale professors, not many wise. He didn't say not any. He said not many. Okay? Not many mighty, not many wise according to the flesh. The things the people with Thomas brilliant, the people we term as wise, God knows all of them, and not many of them have the calling that we have. Not many noble, how many kings, how many royalties, how many noble, not many princes, how many of them. How many princes were part of the followers of Jesus when Christ was on earth? Rather, we found who? Fishermen, simple men, men and women that were considered to be nothing. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should, then that word comes again. Glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Glory. Open with me, please, to James chapter 1. Glory and money. Two things that bother us Christians. At times, we Christians are so down. At times, you feel you don't fit in if you're walking with Christ. Or some people walking in Christ actually find it so strange that they are so marginalized that they find a way to have Christ and retain glory. Glory is a big temptation. Men's approval. Before we go to James, follow me to John chapter 5 real quick. Verse 41, this is the Lord speaking about this theme of glory. I do not receive honor. It's another one, glory. Christ said, I do not receive honor from men or glory from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor or glory from one another? I do not seek the glory or the honor that comes and do. Sorry, I'll read that again. How can you believe who receive glory or honor from one another and do not seek the honor or the glory that comes from only God? That word again, Christ teaching us here about glory. John 5:44. This theme of glory, because of glory, brethren, so many Christians who started well have gone astray. When we secretly desire glory, when we want recognition, at times some Christians feel unfulfilled because in their current estate there's no glory. How many times have you seen pastors suddenly change? Because when they were doing things in the right way, there was no crowd. And they needed glory. Each time someone asks them, how many people are in your congregation? It's not a fanciful thing to say a few teenagers and some folks. So we start fanciful things. And when we really examine it, it's glory. Glory. How many times have you done something and you've not received the praise for it? And you feel angry in your spirit. Because we need glory. It's like fuel. You need affirmation. Unfortunately, the affirmation of the God of God comes ultimately, not every day. But it is the Christian pursuit to wait for God's glory. Some people not getting that affirmation, we begin to glory in their clothes. Look at me. See how well I look. Look at me, I'm tall. We glory in the most unfortunate things. The things we have nothing to do with. We glory because people are tall. When it comes to football, we glory because it's short and it can play football well. When we're dating them, once upon a time, we bring them down because we're too tall. But when they become NBA stars, we glory in them because they are now tall. Sorry, they're too short, now they are tall. When you live in South Delta, Nigeria, you glory because you have body mass. And when you come to the year, you now glory because we are thin. We glory because we have pot belly, and then we glory because we've lost it. Man, we look for anything to glory. We glory because we are light skinned. We glory because we are dark skinned. But one thing we glory mostly in, we glory in money. We glory because we are smart. We glory because we can speak. We glory in things that will not be essential in a few decades. We will glory because we are married, and now people are glorying because they are single. Anything. It has nothing to do with what we do or where we are or what estate God has put us. There will always be people in different estates. The essential thing is that Satan will always want us to take the glory. And Christ is telling us to not set our affections and our eyes on these things. Before we go to James 1, let's go back quickly to that Jeremiah chapter 9 passage that we read together. Brethren, by the grace of God, the Lord will help us to understand this, so we'll begin to walk like Christ in everything. I'll read it from the beginning, but this time we'll complete the passage. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty glory in his might. Let not the pretty glory in his prettiness. Let not the rich glory in his riches. Let him who glories glory in this one thing. What is that? That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. But in this, for in this I delight, says the Lord. People of God, do you understand this? God is looking to us to lay aside all these vanities. God is looking that our personalities will not be tied to the glory of man. The Bible says that all flesh is like grass. And the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. Is it not true, brothers and sisters? The grass will fade and the flower will wither. But those who trust in God will endure forevermore. This theme, brethren, is so central. Our personalities are so tied to people's affirmation of us. Many of us, if we were to be the only one on the planet, some of the things we cared about, we wouldn't care about them. But we're not. That's the reality. And there's a way by the grace of God that we use the things of this world, touching them and using them nicely, without them dictating who we are. Without them touching our joy. The things you glory in will impact you, will influence you, and will tempt you. Think about it. All the things that you do not care about do not cause you to be angry. If you do not glory in your strength, you are not insulted when someone says they will beat you up. But if you glory in your strength and someone says they will beat you up, you show them who the boss is. If you do not glory in your wisdom, if it's only the wisdom of God that you care for, you wouldn't really be insulted when someone treats you like a fool. You go, yeah. If you do not glory in your gifts, when someone refuses to praise you, you wouldn't feel disappointed. So let's be especially about the things we care for and pray that by the Spirit we will mortify the deeds of the flesh, because it's all the deeds of the flesh. In that Jeremiah 9, God tells us the only thing we're allowed to glory in. What is that? Unfortunately, the only thing we're allowed to glory in is the one that we're inclined to glory least in. When you talk about glory, it means the things you boast about. It's not necessarily boast with mouth. All of us, as we sit here, under the loving, tender spotlight of the Holy Spirit, you know that thing in your life that you glory in. But what we're supposed to glory in as Christians, because Christ has bought us with a price, and we're really not our own, is the knowledge of God. And it's very amazing. The more you glory in the true knowledge of God, the less you think about yourself. Because the knowledge of God points you to be a servant, tells you all of this is vanity upon vanity. Paul, in his ministry, came to a point that he said, I count everything like trash. He said, I've accomplished a lot in the name of the Lord. He said, everything I've accomplished, I count it as dung. I will gladly exchange anything for the excellency of the knowledge of God. May the Lord hear our prayers. But at times our prayers are a reflection of what our priorities are. If you see the prayers of the apostles, it's a reflection of their heart. Most of it is about the knowledge and the glory of God. Anyone who glories in life will pray for the death of his enemies. That fire will come down from above and burn them up. Anyone who glories in salvation will pray. Who glories in the soul will pray for the salvation of their neighbors. And like Paul said, I will gladly be turned away that some of my kinsmen may be saved. These are the things that Christ tells me. People, there are two personalities at work in you. I'm not saying that we are dual personalities or schizophrenic. I'm not abusing us. I'm just saying what you and I know is real. And so that we may address these things in a very practical and clear way, may I use you as an example, Darian? I'm so glad that some of our teenagers, I'm glad that you guys are here, because you're going to meet with a lot of glory. You're going to meet as you go to school. I mean, not going to, you already do. You can actually tell me what the influences are. You know the tide that you're running against, trying to be Christian children in a secular society. You know how the society dictates what you wear, how you think, the language you speak. Even at times when you don't want to wear, think, or speak that way, how you've run against this thing, and it's so hard, and at times you just go, look, it's not worth it. We all have such influences in our lives. But for you guys, you're not guys. For you, my daughters, and my son. You look so much like your papa. Here is why he's big, sitting there. And my son, it's particularly hard. But I'm not going to patronize you guys. You've heard enough from parents, and we know it's tough. Oh, no, you can't. You guys are more than able. You're not guys. You, my daughters, are more than able in Christ who strengthens you. When the darkness is thick, the opportunity for light is so much deeper. I pray that the Lord will set all of you free and you will stand on your own feet. Nobody dictates what you say, how you say it, what you wear. May the true joy of being yourselves be you. that the Spirit of the Lord may flow from you. May you be different. It's going to be hard, but Christ will lift you up in Jesus' name. I said there are two personalities, and it's in each one of us. There's you. Actually, there are three. And at times, we refuse to acknowledge the three. And from today, I want you to acknowledge the three so that you will know the voice that is speaking to you. There is you as you are born, with all your humanity, all your predispositions, your confusion, the skepticism, the fears, the doubt, the courage at times. And you know yourself. And then there's the Spirit of God in all his holiness, his might. He's always on point. He's always light. And you know his voice if you are not reprobate. And I know that none of us is reprobate in Jesus' name. And then there's the spirit of Satan in his wickedness and darkness and his slyness. He's always a liar. He always brings dread. He always brings fear. He's always the opposite of the voice of God. And those three voices fight in our heads every day. It's very sad that many times we have adopted the sound of Satan. I am a liar. I am this. No, you are not. It's just the louder voice in your head. That voice that seeks glory is the voice of Satan. The Bible tells us that he was tired of being an archangel. And he wanted to be God. He wanted to build his throne above the heavens. He wanted to be above the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was cast down. Refuse the voice of glory. The voice that tells us to repay evil for evil. The voice of ego. Let's always reject it. Now, when we do adopt such a voice, knowing that it's Satan, please always remember the gift of repentance. We've always said it on this pulpit that God is not dismayed at our falling. He's dismayed that there's so much grace available and we proudly refuse to take it up because we are tired of ourselves. We think he's like us. We think he gets tired of forgiving. I always say the person that tells you 70 times, seven times, if someone says sorry, forgive him. How many times is such a person ready to forgive you? You know, the reason the Lord keeps telling us to have the culture of asking for forgiveness is this. The day you stop asking or acknowledging your sin and asking for forgiveness is the day you begin to identify with evil. No matter what you have done, if you are able to say, Lord, I'm wrong, forgive me, what you're doing, you may not be happy with it, but what you're doing is you're separating the acts of Satan from the acts of the redeemed man whom Jesus sees you as. But the moment you get tired of asking for forgiveness, before you know, and it's in our life, before you know it, you start adapting that nature and that culture of sin. So don't ever get tired of rejecting Satan in your lives. When you lie, ask for forgiveness. When you are rude, ask for forgiveness. God is not tired of hearing you. One day, as you are asking, as that struggle is alive in you, the Lord will give to you the victory in Jesus' name. The people that go to hell are unrepentant sinners. Not sinners, unrepentant sinners. Everybody in heaven, except for the angels, except for Christ, except for the Father, will be a sinner. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory. There's glory jumping at us from every side. Glory. Even when you're sitting carefully, someone will bring glory to you. Oh, you look very beautiful. You lose your guard. I'm wearing this beautiful dress, and he didn't even say anything. Is it all right? Glory. You buy a car, nobody says, nice car. You go, come, maybe this is not the latest one. Thereafter, if nobody says, So you look at her. Come on, you see my knee right now. Say, go on, glory be to God. Oh, no, no, no. Let's be fair. It's glory. I've seen glory on the pulpit. The last time I was invited, I was speaking to some students in Harvard University. They had asked me to come and speak on the theme of regurgitation of truth and re-eating of the righteousness. And I didn't really use the scriptures. You know, it's you don't speak to people who are not in the spirit using the scriptures, right? So I remember the second law of thermodynamics. It's glory. Let's call it by its name. Jesus deliberately rejected glory. I know when glory begins to well up in me. I know. And may the Lord continue to help us to know so that we may put it down. People, I just lift up the personality of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords before you. Let us follow Jesus. We have to fight glory. Paul said to the Galatians, who are doing so well, who came to bewitch you? He said to the Ephesians, he said, men amidst you in Acts chapter 20. He said, there will arise preachers amidst you who will draw up disciples after themselves. May the Lord help us to put the flesh down. He said, he that glories should glory. The only thing you're allowed to glory in is that you're a Christian. You're not allowed to glory that you're gifted, as we read in the book of Luke chapter 10 this morning. You're not allowed to glory that demons quake in your presence. Where the last time there was a man, he was sick, he was lame, and I went there and I healed him. In the Bible, those who performed the miracle were not the ones talking about it. It was people who were there that talked about it. But we put it on a banner. Paul said, I don't even want to talk about myself or anything that God has done. Rather, I will talk about my weaknesses. So beware of glory. So let's go to James and round up this sermon real quick. Because I told you, there are two themes I would like to touch on. Glory and money. Those two things disturb us as Christians. And they're linked. But because if money does not buy glory, many people will not chase it. Money buy clothes, clothes buy glory. Money buy makeups, makeups buy glory. Money buy Japanese hair buys glory. Money buy cars, cars bring glory. Money buys homes, homes bring glory. Money pay bills, paid bills bring glory. Money, I mean, those are the good uses of money, by the way. I'm talking about the vain uses of money. The last one is a good use. Because ultimately, money is to pay bills. I was asking my sister this morning, I said, how is your work? How is it? Because she's a businesswoman. And with businesses, you know. So once in a while, I like to ask business people, those of us that cut a paycheck every month, we at times don't appreciate what it means when you don't know what the market will be. When automatically your money is taken away, they put some in 401k for you, the insurance is kept for you. So you have a budget, as long as you have your job, you can continue to save gradually and live in retirement, you collect 401k and collect all the KKs, and you're fine. But those who are in business and they go with it, it's tough. And she said to me, we're paying the bills. And it's true. Ultimately, in fact, God made it even easier for us. He said, as long as you pay today's bills, don't even worry about tomorrow's bill. Because at times it's not today's bill that's trouble us. It's the bill of tomorrow. Most of us here, we're not worried about dinner. What we're worried about is college school fees for our children. It's true. God has been faithful. Yet it says sufficient unto the day are the troubles thereof. May the Lord continue to supply our needs. So money and glory. In James chapter 1, My brethren, I'm starting from verse 2. Verse 1 is greetings to all of you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubt, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded, he's unstable in all his ways. Then he went on to say, let a lowly brother glory in his exaltation. We're still on glory. We'll go to money. What is the Bible saying here? What estate are you in school? Are you part of the cool girls? Are you cool? You know what I mean, Bolani. Come on. Let me see. Mitu is not here. Mitu will give me the straight off front. You people will be cool with me. You know what I mean. Are you part of the cool girls? She says it doesn't work like that anymore. Sorry, in my days, that was it. Eniola, lift up your face. So how does it work? I'm just curious. So you're cool by yourself. Okay. Oh, you girls are Christian girls. Okay. That's good. That's what I was... You people read us well. You know to give the right answer. You, this Bolanle, I can see in your face. You are giving me the answer you know will make me happy. Okay. Let the uncool. Are you the person in that group that nobody notices? Do you know you are the coolest person in the sight of God? The mathematics of heaven is different. Who was the most likely candidate for a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? I would think it would be the scribes, the Pharisees, those who are already learned in the law. All he would have needed to do was to correct their excesses and they would be perfect teachers. Who did he go for instead? Fishermen, tax collectors, those who are despised and rejected. Are you in a fellowship and nobody says hello to you because you don't look the coolest, you don't dress the coolest, you don't talk? Are you in school and nobody notices you because you don't act like them, you don't know the latest movies, you don't know the latest songs, you don't sing the latest songs? Say, let that lowly brother and sister, what does he say there? Let him glory in his exaltation. He did not say let him glory in his lowliness. This is a glory of faith. This is understanding what the mind of the Father is. Glory because God knows you. Same God that says the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. You see, God is not partial, brothers and sisters. He is not partial at all. I like to read this more. But I'd like us to read it. We should continue this for a while. If you have time, we'll continue this. Let's read this and before we leave. But I want you to just hold that point. The way the Lord thinks is different from the way you think. I'm speaking this morning in case there's an era of inadequacy in your life that you feel underappreciated, that you think is unnoticed and unvalued. The things that are precious in the sight of God, in the sight of men, they are an abomination before God. He said, let that lowly brother glory in his exaltation. You see, God loves all his children equally, whether you are rich or you are poor. Today, your estate may be as though you are ignored, but the heavens know you. The Lord, the heavens do not care what you wear, what you have in your back and car, what you know in your head dies with the grave, in the grave. Whether you're a movie star or you're not a movie star, all of those are main things. The grave is full of movie stars. Their stories are finished. But the souls of men live on. Blessed is the man whose portion is eternal. The woman's whose portion is forevermore. James caught this in verse 10. He said, but the rich should glory in his humiliation. He uses poor and rich money issues, but it's anything. Anything you exalt in that men are predisposed to praise you for, be very careful about it. For the lack of this carefulness, many people have made glory a career. The singer that does not know this scripture and glories in their voice have soon become recording artists and they have lost their faith. A man who used to sing for the glory of the Lord as a ministry has become someone who does concerts for money. Because they were not careful about how to handle their gifts. They have now become people who are staged and managed by even agents that are not born again at times. They are now people who play for entertainment. You used to pray as a ministry for exaltation. A minister who could walk thousands of miles to preach the good news has now become a seminar speaker who tells you they want to stay in five-star hotels and the water must be 33 degrees and they must be picked up with limousine. You go, how do you go from an itinerant, brilliant, spirit-filled man to a limousine, private jet, five-star or bust person? Because when you have a gift, the Bible says you should exalt in your humility. That means although outwardly you may have glory, inwardly be aware of the downside of that glory. Remind yourself constantly that man is grass. And the glory of man is like the flowers of the grass. That's what this scripture means. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you will see how Paul described it there. He said, let he that has be as though he does not have. Let he that does not have be as though he has. Because this world and everything in it will soon pass away. That is the mindset of a Christian. But the rich in his humility, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuit. And the handsome man in his handsomeness. Have you ever seen a handsome 80-year-old man? I mean, they are all handsome. They all look alike at 80, incidentally. No matter where they started from, they will look alike. All of us will look alike eventually. And when you describe us, you see, when they start describing with the words wise, you know you are no longer handsome. If all they can say is wise. Because there used to be a lot more adjective. There used to be fast, strong, what is it? Stripped or what do you call it? What is it? Tell me, what do you call it? Ripped, yes! And you're like, thank you. That's good. Ripped, and suddenly, with the passage of decades, the only word they have to describe you now is wise. And eventually, by the grace of God, the only word they will have for all of us, no matter where you started from, whether you started light, dark, pretty, in the words of men or the looks of men, not pretty, you are all heading to wise. They all fade away. So why not spend our youths glorying in what God says we should glory in? Do not glory in stuff. I'm going to round this up in a little serious way. I was hoping we'd be able to go and look at the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And I wanted us, maybe we'll continue next week with that. I wanted us to examine this story that the Bible just puts, that the Spirit just puts in the Bible, innocently. But it's a very useful story for you and I. It's an anti-story, actually. It's not a likely story. It's not motivational speech. The story of a man that suffered all his life is not the kind of story that we want to hear. But the story describes aptly the mindset that God wants us to have. People, Paul said to the church, he said, do not glory in men. He said, for all things are yours. Whether it's Paul, Apollos, The Bible says you will inherit the riches of the kings of the earth. May the Lord help us to begin to lift our faces to his promises. What God wants us to glory in, what God wants to hear from us, is in every circle we are, we boldly say, yes, I'm one of those Christians. When they laugh at us, to boldly say, Lord, forgive them. They really don't know, because they don't know what they're saying. What God wants us to do is to live by faith. In this age, this whole society is calling you to live for it. Say, come to me, I will give you fame. Come to me, I will give you lovely homes. Come to me. It's like Satan takes the Lord Jesus to the top of that temple and shows him the whole of the glory of the Eastern world in those days. I will give you this. Don't glory with them. Continue to be a Christian. Continue to desire the excellency and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be like Esau that sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. Continue to walk with Jesus, because ultimately you have the better deal. Satan will give anything. Satan, and unfortunately, is not even giving what he's promising. He's making you spend your life blood for it. Whereas the counsel of the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Yola, do you understand? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and every other thing. So do not even worry about tomorrow. The Bible says, live by faith and not by sight. There are so many scriptures giving us hope. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It did not say, plan with all of your head. There's a way for a Christian to succeed. It's to succeed where God wants you to succeed, not where the world tells us to succeed. The Bible says you should guide your heart with all diligence, because out of them are the issues that govern life. Be careful that Satan does not come into your heart. When they say this, don't go with them. Don't seek the success of this world. We are going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it says, anyone who seeks to be rich in this world will pierce himself with several sorrows, because you cannot chase mammon and chase God at the same time. May the Lord help us. Stay the course. Are they going to laugh at you? Who was that? Who sang that song? Who's got the last laugh now? I used to like that song way back in college, before I got born again. And you know that song? They once laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. Right? They laughed at... who's got the last laugh now? Glover Washington or whatever. Anyway, we are going to have the last laugh in Christ. You will. You may be a lowly brother now. They may say you are an elder achiever for those who are achieving. Kai. I'll round up by speaking with my children. Guys, be strong. I'm not speaking to you. There's in the book of 1 John, Paul said, young men, I do not write to you because you do not know. I write to you because you do. Right. And it's time, at times, you need the extra voice to tell you. I dare the four of you and tell your friends to be different. There's nobody who does what everybody does and go the way everybody goes that achieves anything great. I dare you. It takes a lot more courage to be yourself than it is to conform. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect gift of God in Hebrews 12. The Lord Jesus will grant you courage. I don't speak to all of you alone. I speak to all of us parents as well, at our workplaces. May the Lord grant us courage to be different. We all know we need courage. May he grant us courage to always do what we know is right. May he grant us courage to stand alone even when you're afraid. May he grant us courage to always use the method of God. Because at times when it appears that God is silent, we begin to chase after the methods of the world. But may he grant us the courage to stand our ground until Jesus comes. May the Lord bless us and keep us. Please remember the tool of praying. Pray. Pray. When I search the scriptures, I don't see many places where the Bible says walk, 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 as much as it says pray, 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 pray. Prayer is an expression of faith. Prayer is saying, Lord, David, when he went to battle and he came back and discovered that his wife and children had been kidnapped, David was a man mighty in that area. He was a rebel leader. That scripture always struck me. He said, shall we chase them? He said, is there a priest? Bring out an effort. Will you please inquire of the Lord? Shall I chase them? The Lord said, chase them. Okay, ask the Lord, are we going to get this? The Bible says, you will. That's a strong man. He was still humble enough to ask the Lord, shall I? Shall I? Shall I? He did not say, okay, let's try another strategy. Next time that we go on, number one, I think there are five of you. You go to the west. I'm going to go meet. We're going to capture them by the time they get there. Then the next time we're going to leave a guard. We do all of that as well. But the one that the Bible documents is us trusting in the Lord. It's not until you have 3,000 people that you win your battles. With 300, one God wants to prove. Don't let anything move you, brethren. The Lord will pay the bills for these children. He will pay. Watch one by one. Not all of them will graduate. Not only that, they will excel. And if we let God, they are going to do better than we could have done ourselves. I've seen it too many times in this America. I've seen people that husband and wife are not working and their children just get scholarship. Parts are different. Some people are not as straightforward, but God is always able to. Stay the course. Glory in nothing. Let's glory in the Lord alone. That we know him, that he's the one that exercises righteousness and judgment in all the earth. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you please build your word in your people. You know where everybody here is. At times, Lord, even what we have said today may not be the primary concern in everybody's heart. But God, you are able to address everybody at their point of need because you love us so much. As we go, Father, help us to go in your grace. Let your beauty rest upon us. Let your glory rest upon us. Help us, Father, to have courage, to boast about Jesus. Help us to remove our trinkets and all these vain things, Lord, that pull our hearts away, that we may serve you faithfully. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.